Well, hello, this is Beth Smith, and I'm over at 307 Chavano Avenue, ready to talk to Bob Post about his family. Can you start for us, Bob?
Yes, I'll go back to the beginning. My grandfather, Dominic Posterero, and his brother, Sam Posterero, came from Italy. The only way you could come from a foreign country to America many, many years ago, you had to have a sponsor and a job. And their older brother was a carpenter, building contractor in Pennsylvania. And he brought them over here. And they worked for him for a short period of time. And then they decided, because they heard so much about the West developing, they got themselves a couple of saddle horses and started riding west. And they rode all the way across till they ended up in Pueblo, Colorado. And they got a job with the Rio Grande Railroad. The Rio Grande was at that time building the road from Canyon City, the railroad, up through the canyon. And they worked on that for quite some time. But then one day they decided to take a little time off. They got on the horses and rode up the canyon, and they came out into this valley. My grandfather always told me about, you won't believe it, but the city of Salida, the pinyon trees were so thick where this town is today, you couldn't even walk through them. Well, him and his brother rode on west further, and they got up there about 7 miles west of Salida, and it opened up, and it was a real nice meadows and fields up there. So this is where they decided they wanted to take advantage of the homestead law, which had just come into effect, and they applied for homesteads. So my grandfather applied for a homestead in that area, and his brother, Sam, down on the river, on the Arkansas River. And so they got their homesteads approved, and they had to build a small cabin to live in to get it approved. They had to have that a living facility. And they got those done. And after my grandfather got everything going well, and things were working well for him, he was going back to Italy to marry the girl that he had met and wanted to marry. And her name was Mamie De Luca. And so he went back, and his brother stayed here to take care of the places. And when he got back to Italy, he got married, and just a few days after they got married, he was called into the Italian army. He was drafted into the army, and he went in as a cavalier, which was a cavalryman at that time, and sent to North Africa. And he spent nearly a year in North Africa in that war they had with the Italian war with North Africa. So then when he returned back to Italy, he came back to the States, and he brought his wife with him. They had one little daughter who was just a baby, which was my dad's oldest sister, Mary. Her name was Mary Filoso. She married a fellow named Louis Filoso here in Salida. And they came back here, and then he had to start establishing a place to live. He built a little cabin they lived in. And then in the meantime, my grandfather decided, because his family was growing, that he would build a big ranch home there on the home place. And they got the Stincato brothers at that time, who were building contractors and brick masons, to build this big home so he could raise his family in it. And, of course, that was the home originally. That was where my dad was born, too, in that same area. So then all Grandpa's children were born in that house, the whole family. Aunt Mary, who was born in Italy.
How many children did they have?
I had 11. And then I was born in the same house when I was born. And then my dad, after a short period of time, my mother and my dad lived in a little cabin behind the main home there. And then my grandfather assigned these ranches, these different pieces of land, to his sons. And the ranch he gave my son, my dad, he decided to build a home on it. So at that time, my grandfather, Barbiero, had been in the carpenter business. So he went out, and with a couple other fellows, they built a home for my dad and my mother. And we moved in there when I was just a little kid into that home. And I grew up in that house, and I lived there for 31 years till they sold the ranch. Then I went to Pinyon Grove School, which was a mile away across the fields, and used to have to walk to school every day. And then in the winter months, when snow got, I mean snow, not like we have today, snow was higher than the fences. They used to, all the people in the area where we lived would take turns with a sled and a team of horses and pick us kids up and take us across to school on a sled. And after 6 years of that Pinyon Grove School, and my teachers at the Pinyon Grove School were Rosalie O'Harrell, but your family originally was downright Poncha then, the O'Harrell family. And then when she left to come to teach in Slide High School, Victoria Benosky became our teacher, and she was around for a long time. But then I wanted to go to the Catholic school. My folks wanted to go to the Catholic school. We were Catholics, and they wanted me to go to school there. So I went down my 7th and 8th grade in the Catholic school, graduated there, and went to Salida High School. When I graduated from Salida High School, then I went to Colorado State University, which was Colorado A&M at that time. And I started taking forestry. I wanted to be a forest ranger. And in my second year, I got sick while I was in college, had scarlet fever. And I had to quit school along in February of the second year, so I had to come back home. In the meantime, Second World War broke out, and I had to sign up for that. And they took us for our physical exams that summer, along about in April or May. They took us for physicals, a whole busload here from Salida. And
where'd you go?
To Denver. Took us to Denver and down to Fort Logan's where we went. And then we came back home and hadn't been home but just a couple of months, and I got a notice to report for duty down at the draft board station, which was downtown there at the old lumber yard. And so I went down there, and Patterson had the hardware store inside, it was one of them. And they were waiting for the bus to pick us all up. There was about 30 of us waiting there. And Mr. Davenport, who was also a member of the draft board, said, "Just a minute, Bob, could you come to my office? I have to talk to you." And I went in there, and he said, "I have some good news for you." And he said, "Because you are deaf in your left ear," which scarlet fever left you totally deaf in your left ear, "they found that on your physical." I said, "Yeah. And there's enough soldiers now returning who have been wounded and still were able to do some work, and you would be in limited service anyhow. You would be working not in the front lines, but back on the bases and so forth." He said, "So we got plenty of those coming back, but there's one other thing you'll have to do. Our railroads are so busy, and they can't find employees, that you'll have to go to work on the railroad down here and work from 11 o'clock at night till 8 in the morning, 7 days a week, plus continue to run the ranch with your father." It was a tough life, I'll promise you. But I did that for a little over 2 years after that, till the war was over. And then I went back to the ranch in full time. And shortly thereafter, I got married. I married my wife, who, when I was working for the Forest Service, I was over a summer work I was doing that one summer. I had to do some work for the Forest Service to get some, at that time they required that. I worked for the Forest Ranger over at Sargent's, Colorado, and that's where I met my wife. Her father had the grocery store over there in a motel, and I met her there at that time.
What's her name?
Ethel.
Ethel what? Give me her full name.
Ethel Marie Speezy.
Speezy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I met her, and that was in 1942 also. And then I continued, every chance I had, to go over to see her, and we got together off and on. And then we got married in 1945. And our first son was born in 48, and our daughter in 53.
You were ranching all this time.
All this time. And then my dad's health was real bad. My grandmother had passed away, and they lived over here on Poncha Boulevard. The big red brick house. It was the first house. It was the Eddy Brothers estate. This whole land, you probably know the Eddy Brothers. You've heard of it. And he bought that home. The Eddy Brothers were going back to England. They were big cattle ranchers. They were going back to England, and he bought that home. And real estate was really expensive in those days. I found some papers a while back. He paid $850 for that massive home. And behind that home, there was a big building, which was the bunkhouse for all the cowhands. and under the hill behind that there was stables for their horses. But he bought that. And then after he bought that, the Eddy brothers decided, well, they had all this land. There were 17,000 acres at the foot of Mount Shavano that they owned. He bought that too. And they call that the Eddy Brother Flats up there. And he bought that from the Eddy brothers for $1,000 for 17,000 acres.
What year was that?
Oh, God. I don't know the year exactly. Yeah. Way back, probably 1890s, something like that. And then, let's see where we at then.
Eddy brothers and their...
They left here, and yeah. My grandfather lived over here on Poncho Boulevard, and after my grandmother passed away, he was alone. He wasn't in too good a health. So my mother and father, my dad wasn't in good health either, so they moved down to live with him and take care of him. And me and my wife stayed at the ranch, running the ranch, and that was from 1946. And then in 1951, an opportunity, my dad needed income, he didn't have any income, he had an opportunity to sell the ranch and his cattle. And he did that, and then I moved to town, and I bought a home there on the corner of 7th and 8th Street. And I went to work for Rio Grande Motorway, and delivering freight and so forth. And after a year of that, some of the soldiers were coming back that had options on their job when they went into the service, and I had to leave because they took the job back. So then I went to work for Safeway Stores. Worked for them for 3 years as produce manager. And then I just never was happy working for somebody else. I wanted to be my own boss. So that's when I decided to open a sporting goods store and a cafe on Highway 50. And that's what I did. I had that for 5 years.
Where was that?
Just, you know where the jewelry store is there? Just on,
yeah.
Going up right there in that building. That was the building.
Ah.
And,
what did you call it?
Bob's Sporting Goods. And, Sporting Goods and Cafe.
That would be about what year?
Oh, that was in 1954. And we had that for 5 years. And then I'd met a fellow named Raleigh Gardner, who was with IDS, which is an investment company. He used to come in and eat there with us a lot. And he was always asking me for leads to people I knew who might have money to invest. And I always had names for him because I knew a lot of people. So one day he said, Bob, he said, we need a man in this area. Why don't you come to work and make some big money the easy way and not have to work at this restaurant 24 hours a day? So he talked me into it. So I went and took the examinations, and I passed the test. Got a license. But I had this company told me, IDS told me, I'd have to get rid of the business. I couldn't have both. So I put it up for sale, but nothing was happening. And there in the first part of September that year, and this was in April, and this is when he passed the test, we went to work for him. And I was sitting there one day, I went up there to help. My wife and my mother were running the place yet. I was up there helping them out at lunchtime. And a fellow was sitting there at the counter eating lunch. And he said, hey, he said, you lived here a long time? And I told him, yeah, all my life. And well, he said, I want to move here. I like this town. He said, can you suggest a place I might be for sale that I could buy? I said, well, you're looking at it right here. This for sale? I said, yeah. Oh, God, he said, I've watched this. It's quite a place. It's a busy place. I said, yeah. So he bought it. And that was in September of that year.
What was his name?
Good. He had it for a few years.
Well, it's not that important. You went on to be a advisor, somebody with little money, huh?
I was a financial advisor and also a stockbroker.
And what was the company you worked for?
IDS. That was Investor Diversified Services. I worked for them. And then the area started opening up bigger, and they needed more manpower. So they assigned me to the San Luis Valley. Had all the San Luis Valley. Had Leadville, Salida, Buena Vista, then Canyon City and Florence.
Big territory.
That's right. And then in the meantime, I had to work my way up to becoming a district manager. So I had to go to Colorado Springs and help them develop some men there in Colorado Springs area. So I had to work 2 and 3 days a week in Colorado Springs. And then that backed off and I got them 5 or 6 men and trained them. But then I worked this territory for 31 years. And then I retired. Which seems like yesterday, but it's been 15 years ago. I retired when I was 65, and that was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And since then, I've lived anyway. Well, 10 years after we'd bought that house down there, and we'd sold the business out there on the highway, we decided we wanted, up the Mesa was starting to develop up here on the Mesa, and so I decided to build up here. I was the first house on, next to the one with the Smiths, our neighbors, live across the street. It was the only house on Chavano Avenue, and it was new, just been built by a bookkeeper. I can't remember his name, but he was living there. He was alone. He didn't have a family or anything. And then our house is the first one on the next block up. Other than the house across the street, the old brick house was a Paquette. The Paquettes owned that house. That was the only house on Chavano Avenue on West End. We built our first house on that corner in 19. I guess we built this in 1961. And we've been there ever since.
Good place to be.
And they couldn't run us off. They tried, but they won't let us. They won't let them.
All right.
About all I have to say, really.
Oh, I don't know. Why don't you think back to the changes that have happened in Salida since
You
were growing up?
Well, originally, you probably won't believe this about Salida, but when I was just a kid, the railroad was a big industry in Salida. At nights, whenever I was down at my grandfather's place staying overnight or something, with my folks or something, you go downtown Salida, you could not go down F Street, Main Street, which was a very small street at that time. There were very few businesses on that street. And you go down that street, and the railroaders coming off of shifts were so thick, you couldn't drive a car down. There were just masses of men walking up the street, because there was over 2,000 men worked down here in the shops and on the rib track. And this was the center for the Rio Grande Railroad at one time. That's why the hospital was here.
Right.
Our Grand Hospital.
Yeah, about what year would that have been?
Oh, back in, probably in the 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the 30s sometime. But then, something else I didn't bring up, is back in those days, as I mentioned to begin with, the only way anyone could come to this country, you had to have a sponsor and a job. So the Groy family, which is quite familiar in this town, my grandfather brought the old man Groy, old John Groy, here, and he worked for my grandfather, and my grandfather helped him acquire a piece of land up by Maysville, and got him going. And then the Skangas, which his sister was married to a Skanga, he brought them over and helped them get established down there in this ranch, which was Skanga Ranch, still part of it. And got them going and got them established. And the DeLucas, which old Joe DeLuca, which was my grandmother's father, he brought them over and got them started in the ranching and farming business. And this is what he did for a lot of people in those days.
Where did they come from?
From Italy.
What part of Italy, you know?
I used to know the name of it. It's southeast of Rome, on the east coast of Italy. Can't remember the name of it. But my grandfather, his parents there in Italy, they had a small, well, more or less a truck garden. That's where he learned to be in, like, the farming business. They had a truck garden, and they used to raise a lot of vegetables and ship it into Rome, and that was their source of living over there. But,
so your family brought a lot of them over here.
Yeah, a lot of people over here. He brought an awful lot of them over here. The Muto family, he brought them over here too.
Spino?
The Spinos, the Mutos, who else, There were some other ones. I can't even think where they were. There were several families that he, through the years that he brought over here. Because that was the only way you could get to America. You had to have a sponsor. And it had to be an American citizen.
What did all these Italians do? Were they mostly ranchers, farmers, or did they work in the mines? Or
here in Salida? Yeah. No, he brought them over. He helped them get a piece of land.
I see.
Each one of them had a ranch. Uh-huh. And he helped them get to acquire these pieces of land, which were very inexpensive, but he had a source of where they could get the money to finance it. And so he did all these things for all these people, which was a tremendous thing in those days.
You bet.
To help all those people. Mm-hmm. The city of Salida, to watch it grow, I think back, and it was unbelievable. Up here where we live, here on Chavano Avenue, we used to come down to my grandfather's house. My mother used to do her laundry down there because we didn't have any running water on the ranch. She'd come down here to do laundry once in a while. And me and my cousin, Louis Barbero, we'd rabbit hunting up here on this. There wasn't anything on this mesa, not a thing, but the old Paquette house at that time over here. And we used to hunt rabbits up here. And then I remember it started to develop some, a few houses started to be built. And then they built the golf course in 1935. That took a big chunk of the land. But it just started to develop there along with it. As far as Poncha Boulevard, there was not one thing on Poncha Boulevard. The next thing above my grandfather's house, which was the old Eddie Brothers headquarters, was up the Dickerman house. A fellow named Dickerman had it. That's where, Williams lives there now. Her husband died then. What was his name? One of the Williams, anyhow. Velia, you heard of Velia Williams and so forth?
Yes.
Okay. Her mother lives over there in that house. Now, that was the old Dickerman place. And then George Means, from over at Sargent's in that area, got a big rancher over there. He came over and he built the house at, down that big white brick house. What's her name? She has all those kids. Oh, God, I go blank almost together. He was an attorney here in Salida and it passed away. God. You know what I mean, that big white brick house on Gloria Departure Boulevard? Did you come up over the hill on the left side? I'll think of their name pretty soon.
Yeah.
And then up the street, there's a big red brick house right on the corner of Fifth Street and Poncha Boulevard. That was Sandusky's home, a fellow that was in the had clothing store, started clothing store. So yeah. Sandusky's has probably heard the name yet. It's still
yeah.
a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after that, on up the street, on the corner of Crestone, not Crestone, but 7th Street and Poncha Boulevard, big red brick house on the corner there.
Yeah.
There's an attorney built that home. But I didn't tell you how the name Posterero was changed to Post.
Yeah, how did it?
Well, my grandfather and his brother, the old country way of doing things where your oldest son would be named after your father. And this got to be, well, and they were all, it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And each generation, as they had another son, the oldest son would be named after the grandfather. So John Boyle was his name. He was an attorney. And he was my grandfather's attorney. He called him one day and said, I have to talk to you. And he said, we've got a mess, especially on land and all the holdings. He said, just can't keep them straight there at the courthouse. They can't keep them straight in Buena Vista courthouse. He said, would you mind if I change all your holdings to Post? You still have to keep your name of Posterero. You don't have to give that up. But your land holdings, change it to Post. And he agreed. And he went to all this trouble of changing all his holdings into Post. And his brother, Sam, said, I like that name. I'll change mine too. So they didn't gain any ground by that. And that's how the name Post came by. So then, because it was a lot simpler than Posterero, all the kids, they'd be all start changing their name and becoming Post. That's when that happened.
Yeah.
But,
And that was a lot of history. I can't think of any more that would be real interesting.
Well, tell me, you went to Salida High School. When did you graduate?
When?
Uh-huh.
From Salida High School? 37.
What'd you do when you were a teenager in Salida?
What I do as a teenager?
What'd you do?
There used to be one place in town for any place for teenagers. It was Lewis's Candy Kitchen. Right there on the corner where the Pueblo Bank is at. Right on the corner there. That was the only place for kids. And he just fell around a nice ice cream parlor. And go in there and you'd have Cokes or ice cream. And you'd be able to get ice cream cones. One so big you couldn't eat it for a nickel. And but most of the kids, that's about all it was. It wasn't too much to do, really. Other than they had played baseball. They had a lot of baseball teams for teenagers. Even when they weren't going to school, all summer long, they had baseball out here at the baseball park. And used to ski, and did a lot of skiing. And all the young kids were skiing at that time.
Was up at Monarch?
Yeah, on the first, the old, original, up on the top of the old Monarch Pass. There were no lifts or anything. My uncle would take me and Louie, my cousin up there, he'd take us up to the top on the old road. And we would ski down into Monarch Park. He'd pick us up there and drive to the top, bring us back up here to ski back down.
Well, you had your own lift.
Yeah, we had our own lift. And that's where we used to ski.
Yeah.
But then, in high school, I played basketball, I wrestled, I played football. I did everything in high school. And then I was playing football. A year at Salida High School was a state champion, so we were all teams in football.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yes, they were. I'll never forget when I went out from junior high school to play on my sophomore year in high school. Coach White was his name. The high school football field is named after him. He was the coach. He said, okay, you guys got to prove yourself to me that you can play football for me. He said, stand right in the middle of the field. Brace yourself. And he had a kid named Sully Brenton. He was just a fantastic football player. He weighed about 190 pounds and run like a horse. And he'd start running down the field and you're on the 50-yard line and you had to stop him on full speed. Well, I stopped him. An hour later, I woke up. That's when I got my knee hurt. At that time. But I played football. And, of course, that was a year. That year they were still on the downtrend after the state championship. And I played football for 2 years after that. And then I wrestled. They started a wrestling team. I wrestled. And I played basketball every year. And then I used to have softball teams. Everything. Kids were involved so much in sports in Salida High School. But they used to, well, that was the only thing really to do. If you didn't do that, nothing else you could do. And we didn't have 25 policemen inside. We had 2 policemen. And they made you walk the line, I'll tell you. You didn't dare get out of line. There were 2 policemen. But now, you got 23 policemen.
Right.
But that was about it. Slightly, then I watched it grow from... Because it kept expanding. And very, very steady expansion because things started to happen, more things started to happen here. The railroad was the biggest contributing factor of Salida and its growth. But for many years, even up to about the time of the Second World War, the railroad was a big industry, even after the Second World War. It was their top industry in this town. And most people wouldn't believe it. The number of freight trains going through here every day. It's just a steady stream. And this was the main line to the West Coast at that time.
What company?
Rio Grande Railroad.
Yeah.
Rio Grande Railroad. Uh-huh. Yeah, this was their main line because Santa Fe went from the southern end, but they were so busy they could not handle it anymore. So then the Rio Grande took this western route and it went through Utah and into the... up in San Francisco area. That's where they ended up with. The trains went from here. But I remember during the war when I worked down there, We would have as high as 22 or 23 trains in an 11-hour shift. They were just lined up, one backed up against the other, and there were troop trains of soldiers and war equipment, tanks and trucks. And this went on day in and day out. There was no end to it.
When a troop train went through town, did they stop so the
they would stop
to service
it. They would get off, and down there, well, it used to be Tall Farrow's Cafe in the lower part of that street there, just up that first building there by the old Palace Hotel down there. Where it was at?
Yeah.
Building right below it, from there clear down to the river, that was all. There was one big building in there, and that was Tall Farrow's Cafe, and these boys would run across there and grab something to eat, and then there was where the Victoria Bar is at now. They used to run up there and grab a beer, and they just, like flies, you know. But that's that street was so busy with soldiers every time the town they'd come into town. But some of the troop trains didn't allow them to get off, but a lot of them did. A lot of them stopped for service. Mm-hmm. And when they had to service them, it would probably take a half hour, 45 minutes to service the trains. And you have to take the engines down and fill the coal cars because they were run by coal at that time. And they have to do that and unhook them there by the depot, the old depot, and then run the engine clear back down to the coal chutes. Well, my grandfather had the first car in the family. My grandfather had a Hudson. And then when the Argus brothers opened their garage down here on East 1st Street, my dad bought a Nash. It was a coupe at that time, about a 19, probably a 35 or something like that. And my uncle Ralph, he bought one too, same time. I had that for a few years, and Fords got real popular, the Model A's that came out. And he bought a Model A sedan, which was a lot nicer, carry more people in it. And had that for several years. And then the Plymouth, I think the Plymouth came out. He bought a Plymouth then. He had that for several years. And
what was your first car?
My first car? My first car was a Buick. And I bought that Joe Lionel at the Buick dealership at one time. And he was a cousin of mine. And he had the Buick dealership, and he sold me a Buick. And it was, what was it, 1943 or 44, Buick. And I stayed with Buicks pretty much after that. I've owned, I think, 7 Buicks in my life. And that was the only type of car I ever owned was a Buick. And until I bought my Bronco then. I had Broncos.
That's what you got now, huh?
But I bought that from a customer of mine. Lived up here at Buena Vista, and I stopped one day to see her. She ain't got any more money. And I said, where's your Broncos? Brand new. Your husband bought it. He'd just passed away. Oh, she said, kids made me put it out here and just put a tarp over it out there in the garage. You won't let me drive it. I said, well, do you want to sell it? Well, I don't know, but, well, I'll take it and show it to you. So I went out there. And I said, how much you want for that? She said, well, $3,000. I said, oh, no. It was brand new. It only had 3,000 or 4,000 miles on it. I said, no, I'll give you $2,000 for it. Oh, no. We argued for about 2 hours. And went into the house and had a cup of coffee with her. She said, okay. $2,500. I said, okay, you just sold it. I bought it for $2,500. And then at the meantime, I bought another Buick from Tad Haskell, and he had the Buick garage down there. Well, I still have that one, 42. And I bought that 96 Chevy Suburban. That's it.
That's nice, yeah. Think back. During the days of Prohibition, can you remember anything about that?
A little bit.
A little bit? What?
All the drunkards.
Were there stills in everybody's house?
A lot of people did have. I don't like to mention any of those because it's probably not where I knew people that had them. But I knew people that bootlegged here and shipped it to Cripple Creek to the mines and made a fortune. And a lot of those people, names I can't give. I
just, no, don't give them.
No. They bought half of the lighter.
Of course, he's talking about me.
Well, now he's telling you something.
Yeah.
But that was the biggest one. Then there was another one, and the fellow up on a ranch next to us, our ranch, he wondered why you could never see him. He'd never see him. His family'd be out working in the field. He'd never see him. Well, he found out, finally, the sheriff heard about him, I guess. The sheriff's name was Shoewalter. Well, he had dug a hole in a big irrigation ditch at the bottom of it. He had stopped the water up above some way. He opened this big door and go down into this cellar he had under that ditch. Then his kids would close that door and he'd be in there bootlegging. Well, the sheriff caught him and arrested him, and the jail was in Buena Vista. And he took him up to Buena Vista. But the sheriff took his still to Buena Vista and made him make whiskey for him in the back of the courthouse. And he, every night, the sheriff would bring him back to his family at home and pick him up in the morning and take him back up to prison to bootleg for him. That's the way he spent his prison time. Yeah, I'll never forget that.
Good story. How about other organizations, Elks or KKK? Do you have any of those here in town?
Oh, yes. Ku Klux Klan. Oh, yeah. Lord, yes.
What do you know about them?
Not too much. They were a pretty secretive outfit. They didn't let too much out. We knew that they had a lot of things going, but no one ever knew what was going on. They were a very quiet outfit. But the Elks, I joined the Elks 55 years ago. I became an Elk. I belonged to the Knights of Columbus for years. And the Saratoga Club, I brought the Saratoga Club to Salida. A good customer of mine in Colorado Springs, he used to take me when I go to Springs to work. He would take me out to lunch at the Saratoga Club there. Luncheon. So one day he said, we'd like to start one in Salida. Can you help us? I said, okay. So he said, all we need is 10 charter members. And I came home, I got 20 people signed up. And we got our Saratoga Club started in Salida.
Good. Still going.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going?
I thought I'd go. You're busy. I'll talk to you a little later.
All right.
All I wanted was a cup of coffee anyway.
All right, Dick.
So what do you think is the most significant changes at the county, huh?
Oh, God, I don't know. The growth factor and why, I don't know. Why the growth here? There's no job opportunities I know here. But I don't know why. I often sit and wonder why we're getting all these people here. The population of this town, I remember when Salida was about 1,500, 1,800, and it grew up to 4,000, and now it's over 6,000. The county at one time, the entire county, well, at Buena Vista, at one time, Buena Vista was about 600 or 700 people, and now it's up over 4,000. The county at one time, the whole county, rural areas and all, was probably about 6,000 or 7,000, and now it's up to 16,000 or 17,000. Why? I don't know. No one can answer that question either.
A lot of people retiring.
A lot of retired people. That's basically it. That's why there's so many houses. I asked a real estate man the other day, how come they have so many houses in town here for sale and rent? Well, he said people are moving here. And they acquire all these older homes because it's for sale. But in the meantime, they're building out in the country. They build these big homes out in the country, in these subdivisions. As soon as they're completed, they leave. And then they put the house up for sale again. They said all of a sudden what's happened now, written just in the last year or so, the flow of retired people moving in here has slowed down. So now we have all these houses for rent and for sale, the older homes. That's the reason they got them. So they said, I don't know what we're going to do to get them going again. There.
Well, can you think of anything else you want to tell me?
You know, a lot of things, but nothing exciting enough.
Well, I think you've done a great job. Thanks for...
About all I can say right now, I mean, it just... there's a lot of history involved. I mean, the way it all happened, I think of that a lot. How my grandfather really... A lot of people to this day will say, some of these other families, oh, thanks to your grandfather, he made this area. Him and his brother made this area. He did. Because all these other outfits and their families expanded and grew, and they brought some of their people in and their friends in, and just kept growing and growing and growing.
Still growing.
Yeah. My grandfather owned a lot of real estate downtown. You know the building where the Green Bricks Furniture is at? He owned all that building. And up there where Dr. Lund's office, he owned that whole corner there, clear down to the bank building. He owned all that back in there. And where Safeway stores that, there was a big, that time, a big packing plant there where they used to pack lettuce and stuff and ship it out. And he owned that and rented it out to, forget the name of the guy that had that at that time. But then the buildings across from the theater, him and his brother owned all those buildings right across from the old Slida Theater on that street. We've had a lot of holdings around here. Along with the Groy family. And the Groy family, yeah, that he brought over here, they had practically owned all of F Street.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, that's great. You've done a good job this afternoon. I think maybe it's time we quit, huh?
Yeah, I think so. My grandfather became very close and a good friend of Chief Chavanot and Chief Uray. They used to come into the ranch, and they would trade him leather goods that they made and blankets for food to eat for their immediate families. And then he helped the they used to come through here. Their certain tribe would go over into the South Park, and then they would move across into the San Luis Valley. That is across here. This Ute Trail is where they used to come. That's why they call it the Ute Indian Trail.
Yeah.
And they became great friends of his, and one time my grandfather had a picture, and just thing would be worth a fortune today, of Chief Chavanot and Chief Uray and him standing with their arms around each other. Wonderful picture. And of course the old thing, my grandfather had a lot of old stuff like that. He had an old trunk full. When he passed away, being Uncle Ben was the oldest brother, he took all of that because that was kind of a tradition. So then when my Uncle Ben passed away, I asked one of his sons, Art. I said, Art, where's that trunk with us? Oh, that junk, I took it to the dump. That picture would be worth a fortune.
Yeah.
Chief Uray and Chavanot. But then my grandfather also in that trunk had a Indian chief's, what do they call those, you know, with all their feathers out.
Headdress.
He had that. They gave him one of those. He had that in that trunk. There's stuff like that. Yeah. It was all thrown away. Kind of bothered me because I've got a little box out here that was my dad had that was in my grandfather's safe that he kept. And I found some things that are quite exciting. Found out what he paid for these Eddie Brothers ranch, you know, the home and the farmland and all that. They're all in there. The receipts to that are all in there. Just stuff like that, but the basic other stuff is all gone.
Well, good thing to hang on to those things sometimes.
Yeah.